Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Well, these verses we read, they are themselves a message. You don't really need to expand on them much. I'm actually going to reflect in a couple of verses from them. But let me just start by saying that life is a journey. It's a journey and it's always moving on. You start this journey and you continue to progress on it, whether you like it or not, this is life. The church life also, it's a journey. And it is a journey that also moving on. And in the church life, as much in our lives, there are chapters. And every chapter is going to start and come to an end. And there is many decisions that we need to do during this journey and these chapters. Details of our journey and the journey of our church will be different from another person. You'll find two people have the same upbringing, live in the same country, and yet have a totally different journeys. And so our churches too. It's very important, since you are in a journey and I brought you here a ship, if you can see it. It's always moving. The reason why ships are in the water, because they're meant to move. It's only during the COVID that some of the cruise ships had to stay in some places. Our life should be always moving, and our churches should always be moving on. But with moving, there is great challenge, because when you move, you have to make decisions. And decisions are tough, and this is when we need God's guidance. And I have three questions for you today to help you in thinking about God's guidance, but also to try to make us reflect on how we make decisions and should we make decisions for ourselves. So let me put the first thing. Oh, it's here too. So let me see if I'm doing it well. I am. It's on, but... Right. Technology is always a blessing. Sometimes it doesn't work. But by the time we get there, let me say that the first thing I wanted to say is, why do we need God's guidance? Sometimes people think that actually I can do my own decision. You know, God gave me mind to use. Some even use some verses like, we have the mind of Christ. It's really out of context if you're going to add it into this. Do we need God's guidance? Why do we need God's guidance? We can make our own plans. Sometimes people start with making their own plans and praying God to bless their plans rather than the other way around. The captain of the ship sees clearly and has learned and is equipped to direct the ship. But somehow, in their making of decision in where to go and where to direct the ship, they have to have something to direct them. There is an antenna. And there is some signals, comes from a satellite, and they rely on this in order to continue forward. In Proverbs 19 and verse 21, many are the plans in the human hearts, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. We're always going to have plans. We're always going to have ideas. In fact, many choices in our lives bring us to make a lot of decisions, and we prefer one or two, so we're going to have our own decisions. In a time like now, in your life, I'm sure there will be time to make decisions, personally, because there is no day that we don't make decisions. But specifically in the life of the church, it's a time of decision making. We are seeking a new minister, seeking a new leader. And what type of leader do we need? If you get 10 people in one room, you will find probably 20 ideas about what type of leaders we need. Everyone will have their own. And we tend to think this is the right person because how we see, how we view our needs are and the way forward is. And this is the challenge, because if the captain of the ship relies very much on the ideas they learned or their view in the middle of the sea in a big ocean, you will see nothing except the water and sky. They will make a lot of mess of the journey. Isaiah 48 and verse 17, God is saying, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. It means you don't know. You don't know what is best for you. Unless we come into that conclusion that we don't know what is best for us, we will feel not urgently seeking God's guidance because we think we know that what is best for us. And let's be honest about that. You have good ideas. We all have good ideas. And sometimes good ideas even compete with each other, and we have a method of our experience and our learning and our view of the presence to make decision, and that's really great. But God is saying, I am actually going to teach you what is best for you, because good ideas sometimes are not good enough. They are good, but they're not good enough for where you are. He sees above our circumstances, and we need to seek him for that. Sometimes when you, as a regional minister, when you read profiles, it's very good to have a moderator or to have someone like me reading your profiles. Why? Because sometimes people write things out of their hearts, and they don't see what actually they need. Some of the profiles, it looks like they're looking for Jesus. They're looking for Paul. It doesn't describe anyone else. The challenge is we can collect all the good ideas and the best things we think, but we don't know what is best for us. This is why God is saying, I will teach you what is good for you, what is best for you. So we need to trust the antenna and the satellite and the signal, the mechanism that's there to guide us. We know that the signal is all the time there. The trouble sometimes, antennas are not aligned with the satellite or rusty because it's not been used for long. That's the biggest challenge for us as Christians. How we can make sure that we're using God's given equipment to connect with him during normal times. Not when you need to make a vital decision. So that we are keep receiving from him. So we learned how we receive and we are accustomed to his guidance. But there is even reason, there is better reason to seek God's guidance. Not because he will have the best for us. Is because he actually the right one to guide. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it says this, people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? Who has the right to direct your life? Certainly not you, because you did not even choose to come here. It was a gift of life that he brought you. Who has the right to direct the church? Certainly not any one of us, because it is his church. And when we are 100% convinced that it's not our place, because it's not our lives and it's not our church, it is his, then we have to seek him. It doesn't matter what I think about the church and who is the next pastor should look like. What matters is what God wants for his church. It doesn't matter what is comfortable for me. What matters is what God wants of this life that he's given me. You're just a steward of the gift. Baptist churches are really well known for their democratic system, and which is really a wrong understanding of what Baptist church is all about. It's not about democracy at all. Sadly, we practice this voting system. But let me tell you about the early Baptist. You know what the early Baptist used to do? When they couldn't find that everyone agrees that they heard God's voice on one direction, they don't take the majority. They pray again. And they will pray again until they all hear the same thing. Because they're not practicing the right of individual. They are practicing hearing God's voice. The priesthood of all believers is all about that all of us are able to hear from him. And therefore, if we align our antennas well with the signal, we should all hear one thing, one direction. Now, I know you can't apply that now in our time. You will have a very long church members meeting that will last for years, maybe, because of the amount of busyness, the amount of challenges in our life now, the distractions that we have, the schedule we have. We have to come to agreement that maybe we will not all hear the same thing, and we have to move on. But here it is, the lesson from this, is that when you raise your hand or you write your secret ballot, you need to make sure that is not your will, because it's not about you. You're actually taking such a very important responsibility to express God's will for his church. It's a very vital process to do. But it only matters when we take it very seriously and know that it really doesn't matter what I think. If all Egyptians choose an Egyptian pastor, then in this church you probably need few pastors from every country and every background and whatever. It wouldn't work. God knows the best, and we just need to hear from him. There is another question I have for you, and it did work. Who can get it? The challenge, of course, how do you hear God's voice? How do you get God's guidance? Everyone can? Yes, everyone. But again, back into this ship, the satellite and the antenna, and the challenge of aligning ourselves well. Every time you don't hear God's voice, remember the signal is always there. There is nothing wrong with his communication. Oh, God is not talking to me. No, actually, you're not hearing. You're not listening. And if we have that mindset, it means it's possible. It's not like, you know, it's a lockdown and God's voice is out of the shelves now. No, it's everywhere. God is with us everywhere. It's just we need to make sure that we continue to pray and align ourselves with him to hear his voice. And then when we do that, we will hear him. Our reading today, Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this is another requirement. Not just that you continue to seek him, but you also continue to trust him. Because most of the time, when you seek God's will, it doesn't seem like what you like. It doesn't seem like what you really prefer. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Occasionally, you will find something that's really exactly like what you thought. But you have to be open to hear whatever he will say. Even if the person that the church is thinking of doesn't match what you think, maybe you have to have your hands open and ask God to speak to you. Unless we trust him with all our hearts, 100%. We will not follow, actually. The problem is not hearing God's voice or receiving the guidance. The problem is what you're going to do with it. Are you willing to follow? And this commitment has to be before even the desire to hear his voice. Imagine if the captain of the ship received the signal, goes this direction, but this person said, no, I don't like that. It's pointless. The whole system is useless because what matters is acting. So we have to have trust, total trust. And where do you get that? That conviction comes from knowledge. Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans. God knows the rest of the journey. You know, you are here for a short time, no matter how young you are. You are just have the privilege to step into the life and the journey of this church. And God has plans for it. God has planned all his desires for this church. And we need to trust that he will continue to guide and be willing to follow and be united in hearing his voice and doing his will, not our desires. What kind of guidance is good for you? Let's hear God's voice and see, does it make any sense? The biggest challenge is not necessarily, did you get a good guidance? The most important, are you following a good guide? A good guide is the safest place to be. It's not what God will say that is important. It's that we are hearing from him. And to do that, verse 5 tells us, lean not on your own understanding. Regard yourself foolish. That mind has a huge blessing and also a challenge to keep it aligned with God. Why? Because it's an accumulation of history, culture, background, learning. And if all the time we trust our own self, we will end up actually be wise in our own eyes. We need to regard ourselves not wise enough to lead and guide our steps, and certainly the future and the life of the church. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Recognize his place. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. And this is when the real thing is, are you going to submit to him in the end? Are you going to really? The one who will get God's voice and God's guidance is a person have a humble spirit, knowing very much that they're not good enough and they need him. And a person who's submissive to the Lord, knowing that no matter what God wants, they will follow. This is my journey, by the way. It's such a crazy thing to leave Egypt before internet, before Facebook, before knowledge about the other side of the world. Crossing the Mediterranean is just like you dying, right? When you take that plane and come into England, didn't know any English. It's such a crazy thing, but God said go. And worse, when you come to make a decision to marry someone you didn't know and from different culture. In fact, from my time I knew Judith, my wife, until we married was 6 months. And when the first time I met her, I told her, I've been praying 4 years. I believe God told me that you are my wife. That's the first time I met her. And I want to meet you so that I can know whether I heard God's voice right or not, and for you also to see God. And you can imagine why after 3 weeks she said to me, I don't want to know anything about you. Absolutely. I did nothing. I didn't do any preparation. I prayed 4 years for God to speak to me about the person. And he did. One day he said to me, this person that I did not know her name, this is your wife. So I acted on it. I didn't know how they get to know each other in Europe. I was just 4 years in the country. And so the thing is, she said to me, no, I'm going back to Holland, and you will go back to Egypt. And I said, that's wonderful. Just go pray and tell me the Lord told you this, and I'll be very happy. She went to pray, and we get married. It's not going to be easy to hear God's voice and not to be willing to step following Him is always going to be scary. And so we have to submit our will to Him. And in many ways, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, to do what? To take captive every thought to His obedience. It doesn't have to be sin. Sometimes we read this and think it's all about sin. Well, we have a lot of ambitions in our lives. If we will choose according to what we like, well, we know. A person looks into the eyes, but God looks into the heart. And therefore, we could choose someone for the church according to our eyes. God knows actually the heart of people and the heart of the issues and the matters that we are in. We have to submit to Him. And the conclusion of doing this, seeking Him and submit to His will and rely heavily on what He says. As Proverbs 3 and verse 6 say, and He will make your paths straight. This is the consequences of trusting God. The consequences of relying on the giving antennas inside us, your spirit. You know, that tension between the head and the spirit. Making sure that we are in range and we're receiving. And making sure that we have 100% commitment that whatever happens, we will follow His will. The last thing I have for you, how to receive it. And you know, we have probably heard about this many times, but it is the simplest things that we know and neglect sometimes. They are the most important. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Taking God's word as a lamp, it means we will follow and we will go for light. The order is very important. Are we spending enough time in prayer? Are we seeking God's word? What the Lord says in His word about what type of pastor we need, for example. Or if you are looking to get married, what type of spouse you need? What type of life you need? We need to align ourselves with what is already revealed in His word. And the challenge, of course, is not to take that and say, okay, God wants me to marry someone holy. Or God wants, no, to have it with joy. God wants me to have a life that will honor Him. As verse 103 from the same psalm says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey. We enjoy receiving His word and acting. This is a true commitment, a commitment of love to what God is saying to us in His word. They are sweet. Your will, Lord, is the best, and I would love to do it. When we move from what we have to do to what we will love to do, that's when we start to hear. Sometimes people start praying to hear God's will, but actually did not align themselves with the word of God first. His revealed word already to you will make you aligned with His desires. And then you are better in a better place to pray and seek Him. James 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, should ask God, who gives generously to all. Who lacks wisdom? We just said, all of us. You should not be wise in your eyes. But the key is not this. You acknowledge that you are not wise enough is you should ask. That's a key point. If you're hungry, ask for food. We don't ask enough. We don't go to God and keep asking and keep asking. I mean, it's quite a commitment to pray for 4 years and decide not to choose for yourself a wife. Quite a commitment. In fact, sometimes I felt like I want to give up. I just want to choose myself a wife and that's it, move on. But you have to be committed to keep asking God, guide us. Whether decision you make for your life or for the church, this is not going to be done by anything except by His will. So, James reminds us to do that. To ask because you lack wisdom and you keep asking. God can choose a pastor for His church, and God can choose the right things for you in whatever circumstances, but you continue to seek Him to do that because you cannot choose for yourself. In James 1 and verse 6 and verse 7, He's talking to us about asking with faith, because if you're doubting that God will speak to you, it'll be like the waves of the sea. You're not very sure. In a way, what requires in order to hear God's voice and to receive His guidance is not just to ask, is to have faith. Faith is more important, far more important than actually the action of asking and praying. Sure, God will guide us. This is His will for us to guide us. That's what He said. John 14, it tells us about this. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. He did not leave us without what can make us hear from Him. And so we have to have faith that He wants to direct us, to guide us. We are not left just to our own ideas. And really, a beautiful thing about the church being described as a temple, you will read about that in 1 Corinthians. You yourselves are God's temple, and the Spirit of God dwells in your midst. You're not just individuals here. As you gather, you are the place where the hot spot is. Real fire, God's presence. We should hear from Him. We have to be sure that He will speak to us. It is His will. But He made us to join together and be certain about the direction and the decision. And so, in a way, what I wanted to say that when you make a decision in your life, it should not be your decision. It should be His. And when the new pastor be in position, it should not be because of the decision of the members. It should be because of the will of God. We have to make sure that we are full of faith, trust, and we keep asking until we know His will, because it is His church. It requires that we have good antennas. So if there is some rust from lack of use and a lot of rain in our life, well, we can work in that, because now we have a very vital decision to make. Spend time to pray together and be aligned together to God's will. It requires faith and determination that wherever He will lead us to, we will do. We're not just seeking to know, but we are seeking to follow. And requires trust on the fact that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, even though we know that we're not good enough, that He will lead His people. He is interceding for us. Your life and the church life is not yours. And therefore, this is the reminder that you'll have to seek Him, for Him to guide you so that you live a life that will honor Him according to His will, and for Him to guide you as a church so that you will see what He will take the church forward in His will, not necessarily what you want, but what His will to be done as it is in heaven in this church. Let us pray. Lord, thank You for my brothers and sisters here. Thank You for the journey of faithfulness that You did in their lives. They are here because You love them. You called them by name and you made them yours. Lord, I thank you as well because this church together, you put them together for a purpose, for a goal, for a mission. And so, Lord, we want to acknowledge your leadership, your headship over our lives. We want to submit to you today, personally, individually, but also as a church, and ask you, Lord, may you lead, guide, and direct every step in our lives and in this church. Lord, we acknowledge that we are not good enough to lead our lives or your people. But we ask you to direct us, give us faith to know that you will not leave us nor forsake us in all circumstances. Unite us that as we gather together, we will hear your voice with conviction. And Lord, may your name be glorified in every step and every decision your church will make. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.